His glory, His divine story. Every Thursday on Morning Glory. Catch the vibe with me, Karuna Munshi, on Radio Size Thursday Live on Asia Stream at 9:40 a.m.
Tune into Sai.
Spend the day with Sai.
From 6 a.m. to 9:30 p.m. on Radio Sai Thursday Live.
Radio Sai Thursday Live.
Stay tuned. Om Shri Sai Ram. Pranams at the lotus feet of Bhagwan Shri Satya Sai Baba. And good morning, dear listeners. My name is Karuna and I welcome you warmly to Morning Glory on this Thursday morning, February the 25th, 2016. It's a warm morning here in Prashanthi Nilayam today with the current temperature at 26 degrees Celsius outside the Radio Sai studios. Daytime high is expected to peak at 36 and overnight lows will dip to 21 degrees Celsius. On that balmy note, let us review a page from a book entitled Prem Dhara. Prem Dhara is a series of letters from Bhagwan Shri Satya Sai Baba to his students. And these particular words were actually penned down by Joel Riordan in a moment of great inspiration. And they are found in Ms. Diana Baskin's book, My Divine Memories of Bhagwan Shri Satya Sai Baba, from pages 112 to 113. And for all you know, this could be Swami's letter to you and I this morning. So dear sisters and dear brothers, please take a moment to open your hearts and receive this message as His blessing. It goes like this. Dear loved ones, you ask, how will you know when I am near you? When on a sultry night, everything is hot and still, the first cool breeze brushes your cheek, I am caressing you. Think of me. When the pangs of hunger are satisfied and loneliness is pierced by happiness, think of me. When your mouth is parched and you can hardly speak, with the first sip of cool water, I am soothing you. Think of me. When the cloud of death disappears first on the opening of a baby's smiling eyes, think of me. When I sprinkle your face with rain and wash the earth, the dry brown leaves, with the first smell of clean rain, I am cleansing you. Think of me. When pain dissolves and fear disappears, think of me. When steadfast eyes are horrified by the cruelties of life, with the first glance of the silent setting sun, I am comforting you. Think of me. Then you ask, how will you know when you are near me? When the burning sun has scorched you and the earth, the sand, and dust fill your eyes, not a sliver of shade about you, and you love me. When loneliness is accompanied by hunger, and not one can be satisfied, and you love me. When your lips are cracked, your tongue feels like clay, your throat seals up, there is no water about, not even a mirage in sight, and you love me. For everything you see, hear, smell, taste, or touch belongs to me. So how can you give me what I already am but your love? And that I gave to you before time began as your sole possession. When you return to me, then will I know you are truly mine, and I will dissolve your sorrow and happiness into me. That, being me, I will place you in bliss forever, for I think and love you constantly. From your most loving Father. Unquote. Wow, what powerful and soul-stirring words. And what better way to begin this morning's session than by hearing about the glory of the chosen mother, Mrs. Ishwarama, for her life story embodies all the sacrifices mentioned in the poem I just read out. Mother Ishwarama gave birth to God incarnate, and in the process, she underwent enormous spiritual metamorphosis. From a doting mother to a concerned mom who eventually came to terms with the fact that her son was not an ordinary child. Her personal journey to becoming his devotee holds out many lessons for all of us. Let us now hear from Dr. Kamala Arora, who wrote a book called Matrastuti to glorify motherhood and in particular the chosen mother, Srimati Ishwarama. Now before I play for you part two of my special conversation with Dr. Kamala Arora, and this one is the one that focuses on the chosen mother, I have a question for all our listeners who are right now tuned to Morning Glory. Excuse me. This question was suggested to me by my colleague, Brother Raghu, and here it goes. What do ice cream and Swami's heart have in common? I repeat, what is the common factor between ice cream and Bhagwan Baba's heart? Think. And please email me your answers ASAP by email. You know where to reach me. My email ID remains karuna@radiosai.org. K for kite, A-R-U-N-A at radiosai, one word, .org or org. And I must mention that last week, Sister Bhuvana Ganesh of Bangalore had also got the answer right to last week's question about the name of Baba's favorite pet elephant. Indeed, it was Sai Geeta. But Bhuvana, you sent your answer to our listener email ID, so it reached me late. Today, dear listeners, I urge you to send your answers to the question suggested by my colleague, Brother Raghu, directly to me at karuna@radiosai.org. One last time, the question is, what is that one thing which is common between ice cream and the heart of our Lord Sai? As you ponder on that question, it is time for me to play our feature presentation. Please enjoy part two of special conversation with Dr. Mrs. Kamala Arora of Bangalore. And this one focuses on Mother Ishwaramba. It is based on the research she did for her book Matrastuti. Have a listen, please. Om Shri Sai Ram, dear listeners of Radio Sai. It is said that good things come to those who wait, and God knows how patiently I have waited to bring you this chapter of divine history. A Radio Sai exclusive on the most important player in the life of Bhagwan Sri Sathya Sai Baba. Baba has said that all of us may exercise some decision making in the selection of our friends, life partners, pets, colleagues, social circle. But no person has the right to choose their mother. This right of choice belongs only to God. Every time the Supreme Consciousness plans a descent among humans, it carefully selects the befitting soul to play its mother. Even God needs a mother to make an entry as an avatar. Bhagwan Baba was born Satyanarayan Raju on the 23rd of November 1926 to their specially chosen mother, Srimati Ishwarama. Today, when we look back at the role she has played in this divine incarnation's mission, she emerges as no less than a goddess herself, verily as the mother of God. This highly pure and evolved soul lived a humble and simple life, and eventually she worshipped her son as divine as any devotee would. Bhagwan spoke also of her care for him after her passing on in the form of her visitations to him to inquire about his welfare. History will be poorer if we don't learn everything we possibly can about the pious soul chosen by the avatar to play his mother. And one person who can enrich our learning about her is Mrs. Kamala Arora. Dear listeners, we have recorded another astonishing interview with Dr. Kamala Arora about her PhD dissertation on Bhagwan Baba from Delhi University that she had completed under Swami's direct guidance. Please be sure to hear that interview. But today, Mrs. Arora will share with us glimpses of Mother Ishwaramba that we are all eagerly awaiting. This special episode on Mother Ishwaramba that we are recording on October the 3rd, 2015 has come about after a few years of attempting to do so. I guess God chose today to be the perfect moment for her to reveal these details to us. Sairam Kamla ji, and a very warm welcome to Radio Sai.
Sairam Karuna, I'm so blessed to be here today. I must tell you why the book on Mother. The book is called Matristuti and it is a homage to Mother. It is a coffee table book. Therefore, it is with lots of colors and pictures for the graphics of the book. And I took the help of some very talented students of Chitrakala Parishad for that. And that is why the book looks so beautiful. Now the book is divided into three parts. The first section is a homage to Mother Ishwaramma, and the second section is a homage to motherhood, a homage to the mothers of the world. Now why the homage to motherhood and mothers? Because as Manu says, there is no God equal to the mother, and as Baba says, everyone is prone to commit mistakes. But one mistake one should never commit is to forget what he owes to his mother. And also that women in their capacity of mothers are the makers of nations and therefore of the world. Yet there is another section in the book, according to Vedas and Puranas also, the mother element pervades the whole nature. The world, nay the whole universe, nay the whole universes, all the galaxies, there is an element of love and compassion which flows like the stream of Ananda in all. The cosmos, as if, is the mother of and the caretaker of all the creation. Now, why I did the book on Mother Ishwaramma? When I started coming to Swami, I wanted to find out who he was. And this is how I landed in doing my doctorate on Swami. Then another thing that happened to me was I started coming to Swami very regularly. I was sitting one day in the darshan line and behind me there were two ladies sitting and talking. One lady was telling the other lady, "See, I went to Swami's place where he took birth. It seems that he's from a very poor family and I also heard about his mother. And I came to know she was a very ordinary person. They were very poor people. There was nothing of divinity in his mother. Why he is called divine? Why his mother is called divine?" So that sent me thinking, is Mother Ishwaramma divine? Is Mother Ishwaramma ordinary? Not capable of giving birth to a avatara? Why is he called avatara? All these questions confused me, disturbed me, and I became very restless and I wanted to think and think deeply about her, and I read anything that came to me on Mother Ishwaramma. I found there were not many books on Mother Ishwaramma. But there was one very beautiful book, The Chosen Mother by Professor Kasturi. Professor Kasturi was also a very esteemed elder, and the person who saw, to whom Swami had sent my manuscript of my thesis, and then Swami called him and asked him, "How is the thesis, Kasturi?" And Kasturiji replied, "Swami, this is a thesis like this, no other work has been done so far." So I had very great regards for Kasturiji, so I thought whatever he must have written must be absolutely correct. So I went through the whole book. I was really very impressed by all the details that Prasturiji had given about Mother Ishwaramma. Then I thought, Mother Ishwaramma has been the chosen mother, of course, but she became a devotee of Baba. Not only that, one day I found Swami saying, Mother Ishwaramma was my best devotee. That thing captured my heart completely. Best devotee? What is the meaning of best devotee? Why, Baba, you are calling your mother the best devotee? My heart challenged him. How? We are all here. How can you select her as your best devotee? Then Baba worked on my mind and he explained to me who is a devotee. I went on asking him, are these ladies your best devotees? Are the people who are most decorated your best devotee? Are the professors sitting? Are the doctors sitting? Are the politicians sitting? The chief minister sitting? Are these your best devotees? Swami said, no, no, no. And he called us many times for the interview. Long time he will give to us. Then I had one very powerful coincidence. There was one lady one day sitting very near me. She was wearing, in the darshan line, she was wearing an orange sari and she was wearing mala of beads and all. She looked like a sadhu. She was very young, very beautiful girl. And she had a pair of padukas which she had brought with her to be blessed. The wooden padukas. Just because she was very close to me and I was very curious about her and I wanted to talk to her, I found out from her, why, from where is she? She said, I've come from Himalayas. And she looked like one of those sadhus, you know, very powerful aura she had and very bright face, beautiful eyes, very young. So I said, you come all the way from Himalayas? She said, yes. For these padukas to be blessed? Yes. Because he is my guru. I'll take them with me, kept them, keep them there and pray to him. I said, all right, all right. And then I had a letter in my hand to be given to Swami because I wanted to seek his blessings to go home that evening. So anyway, when Swami came, he came straight towards us. He took my letter and this sadhu girl, she raised the padukas in her hand. She didn't raise herself. She was absolutely calm, quiet, sitting. Little she raised the padukas. Swami didn't touch the padukas. Swami went little away, looked at her, looked at the padukas and went. So I thought, okay, I mean, I'm trying to discover who is the best devotee, who is a devotee. So I thought, my God, I thought she is a devotee and now this Swami has not blessed her, she is not a devotee also. So when Swami went, I thought she must be having tears in her eyes. She must be very upset. She has come all the way from there and Swami has not even touched the padukas. I was, you know, feeling bad. I just asked her, I said, oh, Swami has not blessed the padukas. I'm sure he will stay back for the evening darshan. I'm sure he will touch the padukas. She said, no, Ma, Swami touched the padukas. Swami blessed the padukas. He saw that was enough. That was his touch to the padukas. And I will go now. I've got his blessings. That amazed me. How eagerly we try to show ourselves to Swami. How eagerly we try to raise ourselves to talk to him and feel very bad when he doesn't take our letter, feel very bad when he doesn't talk to us. And if he takes our letter, we have no feeling of gratitude also for him. No thank you in heart. No question of thank you in any case. See, then I understood, okay, my God, she's at that level of understanding of Bhagwan which I am not. But is she the best devotee? Again, Swami called us for interview that very evening. Because I was crying to be told, who's the best devotee? Who's the best devotee, Swami? Why these people are here? What they are asking for? Why you are not giving them what they are asking for? Then Swami in the interview room, he looked at me and said, so? You thinking about that? You know, like that he will. Like a very strict teacher with me. So he said, you know the address of Bhagwan now? I said, Swami, I don't know the address of Bhagwan. You have to tell me. Where does he reside? And he said, then what will you do? I said, Swami, I'll go and catch him. I won't leave him, Swami. Oh, that is why he doesn't tell you that dress, he says. And he laughed. And then he said, I will tell you the address of Bhagwan. Will you listen to me? I said, yes, Swami, I will listen to you. I will follow you. I will say anything that you want me to do. I'll do anything, but I want to know. He says, Bhagwan does not live on the Himalayas. Bhagwan does not come here to get the padukas. He does not ask the devotees to come and get the padukas blessed. Bhagwan lives in the heart of the people who are suffering, in the heart of suffering humanity. Go and see how many people are suffering. Go and see how many people are dying without food. Go and see how many people are dying with diseases. Nobody is giving them any medicines. Go and see how many girls are being rotten because their mother and father have left them. They have gone away. They have died. And what is the condition of those girls? Look at the children who are suffering. God lives there with them because they are the people who need him. If you want to know where God is, go, be with them. You'll find him in the satisfaction of the service that you do to them. Don't sit and write books. Don't think you are a very big teacher. Don't think you are a very big doctor. Don't think you are a very big businessman. You have so much of money. You have industries. You are the chief minister, governor, president. God does not stay with them. God does not stay with them. God stays there. You want to find God? Go there. And then he gave me the example of one very big businessman. He says, that businessman had a daughter who was always sick. One day I told him, take the daughter, give her some toffees to be distributed to the children home. The children who have no mother, no father. Go, give her clothes to be distributed there. And he came back, told me the girl was very happy, the girl was dancing. And he says, that is where God resides, not here. So, that is the address I got from God. And then I started going around. And he also said one more thing. He says, if you are doing service, you don't have to go and hunt out the people for whom you have to do service. If you stand outside, see the broad sky, see the beautiful sun coming and making your body warm, and say thank you to God, that is enough of service to God, because he feels happy that you have realized that. And then, if you make breakfast for your family, it is a service in your family to people who deserve it. For example, your mother. You don't have to go hunting out for people to do service to. That is another thing which he told me. You don't have to go hunting out. Why I have told you the background is that Mother Ishwaramma was not only the mother to Swami. She became his best devotee. That we should not forget. And who's the best devotee? Not people living in the Himalayas. Not people, you know, looking very beautiful and nice and living in big, big places and doing big, big things. They are not the best devotees. The best devotee, as I told you, Swami gave me the address of the best devotee in the interview room, that go and search the best devotee in these places and do service to them. What I'm trying to emphasize is that service becomes the best quality or the mark of a devotee. And we find that this service was the all and all in Mother Ishwaramma. You understand? So Mother Ishwaramma had two things. Yes. First, she had no ego. Very humble. And so many people will come around and sit and talk to her and say all sorts of nice things to her. And she will always reply in one sentence. Anta Swami Daya Amma. All this is Swami's Daya Amma. And if anybody will be hungry, she will cook the food for the person. If anybody will be sick, she will run to tell Swami about her sickness. So what I'm trying to emphasize is that service was the be all and end all of Mother Ishwaramma.
She is the prime example of Seva Dal.
She is the, and in my book, I think I like to show you, one page contains the pictures of Mother Ishwaramma and his father, and I have written under the picture, the first Seva Dal.
Oh, beautiful.
So that is what is my concept of
the Divine Mother,
because Swami led me to that. You see, earliest volunteers in the divine mission.
Were his own parents.
His own grandfather.
Yes.
You understand? He was a great devotee of Baba.
True, and he knew about the divine.
And he knew that he is a divine.
Yes.
Every morning when Baba used to sleep outside, he used to come and touch his feet, and he used to think he's sleeping. And Baba used to pretend he's, you know, sleeping, yes. So mother and father were the earliest devotees, the earliest volunteers in divine mission. Why I have given importance to seva? Why I am saying all this show business is not devotion? Why I am saying the girl from Himalaya was also no devotion? What Swami wanted was, come down. She is my mother, the mother of the avatara. What is lacking in her, for her? Nothing in the
she
world.
She could have lived like a queen. But she lived like a humble person.
She lived like a volunteer.
Like a Seva Dal, as I said.
Yes, oh, like a Seva Dal.
What an example.
When when there was an eye operation, maybe more than 1,000 people had come for eye operation, long back, she was one of the volunteers. I have given the picture of mother here doing Seva. You see, can you imagine that? Nowadays, if the lady is the wife of a minister or mother of a big officer, IAS officer, they will live like queens. The VIP culture, as you are seeing on the TVs, why we are fighting VIP culture? Because of the ego. So Swami said, she is my best devotee. Why we have to understand? Why if Swami called her his best devotees? That is very important. I cannot just say she was the best devotee. No. Swami called me, made me sit with him for 1 hour. He talked to me about just this service. Service without ego. And of course I have recorded in the book how she went. You know, the day of her death.
Did you ever meet her in person?
I didn't.
And did you do any interviews to learn more about her from people?
Yes. I met many ladies, very old devotees of Bhagwan, and I talked to them about Mother Ishwaramma. And one thing I discovered about her was the simplicity. She was a simple soul. If you will see her sitting amongst devotees, you will not know she is the mother of Bhagwan. That was her simplicity. And her egolessness was another thing. Service was another thing. Service for no reward. As a mother, she went through upheavals in her emotions. When she used to see him being tortured, in the sense that sometimes people will say, oh, some bad spirit has come in him.
As a child in Kadiri, the exorcist.
Yes. And then people made him to go through many difficult, remedies that were suggested by these people. As a mother, she was very protective towards him, but she could not understand him, you know. And she could not understand that why he is not studying when he is going to school. He told her once, Amma, I have not come to study, I have come to teach only. But all these things...
It took a while, I guess,
for her to understand.
Because she had several other kids who were regular human
beings. She was living in a house after marriage with 25 people. Can you imagine? And there were some widowed aunts staying. Uncles were there. There were more than 18 children. She was the only person cleaning the utensils, making the food, and all this seva.
So sacrificing
without, you know, being angry and with love. Seva with love she did. Not that, you know, cribbing and, okay, I'll give more to my children and less to... Not all that thing. Not the things that we find in nowadays mothers. not the things that we find nowadays with the big rich ladies having ayahs for their children. The ayah culture is something which disturbed me. Another very important thing that made me to write about mothers of the day is we are finishing our culture by the culture of ayahs. Wherever you go, you will see that if you are going to Goa for a break and you are staying there, you will find many people there with children and with ayahs. The children are sitting on another table with ayahs to eat, and here the husband and wife are sitting and eating. What is this? Children are sleeping with ayahs. Here you are sharing another room with each other. What is happening? We are finishing the culture of Bharata. And that is why the children are getting up and not giving respect to their parents also. Swami used to say, there are no bad children. They are only badly brought up children. The values that you are giving them. So this is what Mother Ishwaramma, example of a mother, what a mother should be like, is the example that Swami wanted us to take. Now I'll tell you how I did this book, in the sense, I just thought, after finishing my book, and I offered this book to Swami on his 84th birthday. And on the eve of his 84th birthday, I got the chance. I was sitting in the darshan line. My husband was sitting in the veranda, and I gave him this book to offer to Swami. And this book was done with the permission of Swami. Each and every page Swami had seen this. Swami was seeing and approving. He was calling me, I was showing him the pictures, and he was always asking, who has done this picture? Swami, I, not me, this is Chitrakala Parishad. Very good, very good. So like that he guided this book. First and foremost thing I have told you, that is my main discovery about her, is she was a big sevadal. She was a person without any ego.
Yeah,
okay. And then, it was Baba who himself selected her to be his mother. He said, I resolved on my birth. I decided who should be my mother. Mere humans can only choose the one who is to be their husband or wife. But the mother was chosen by the son in Rama and Krishna incarnation, and then too, as now, the task for which the birth was decided upon was the same, the conferring of the prema on all, and through the fostering of prema, the cultivation of righteous living among mankind. So, you see, we cannot forget the word, the cultivation of rightful living. Mother Ishwaramma was another tool or instrument that he used to tell the people, this is my best devotee. See, she's my mother. And she calls me Swami. She doesn't call him Baba, because she found Baba as, you know, a word which is too far. You know, it takes my child too far. She started calling him Swami. It, of course, took her a long time to get used to that word. And Swami was happy with that word. So the cultivation of righteous living among mankind, for which he gave us the example of the true devotee. Who is a true devotee? If you want to know, see Mother Ishwaramma's life. The first preceptor of a child is mother. What the mother will teach the child, he will learn.
But in this case, the child was born with all the knowledge, I guess.
And it disturbed her, you know. As a mother, you can imagine, if our child goes away and spends all his time and energy doing things which we do not understand, eats very little, we will all the time as mother keep thinking, what is he doing? Why he is not studying? Then he told her one day, Ma, I have not come to study. I have come only to make the people to study. Which at that time she didn't understand. I'll read it out to you. We invite you to a journey. This is the introduction to a book, to this book. We invite you to a journey, a holy journey, with hope and faith into the psyche of a simple, pious, tender-hearted, modest, humble mother. All this she was, who always stepped back from publicity, admiration, and adoration. whom the God incarnate chose to be his mother. She was always running away from adoration. She was not wanting that I should be given the best place to sit. No. She shunned the VIP cultures. Nowadays, people are catching the VIP culture. Even if you are a very small MP somewhere.
Yeah.
So she didn't want all that. So we see how she had to trudge along the inner path that led her from Maya to the Master, expanding her awareness, overcoming her fears and hesitations. It is a journey. This book is a journey which attempts at delving into the infinite depths, mysterious realm of a mother's heart, whose child unfolds his divinity as he grows right in front of her eyes and declares himself as belonging not to her, but to the whole world. Imagine a child getting and saying, I'm not your child. It is a journey which takes us along with her to the ups and downs of feelings of awe and wonder, joy and happiness, stress and strain, fear and distress, happiness and bliss, which she went through as she brought up the divine child. It was as if she was taken high up to the skies and thrown low on the ground on the swing of life. So I've made a swing and I have tried to show the feelings of, you know, how you feel when you go up in the swing and how you feel when you come down in the swing. But then at the last of it I've said, but to be the mother of God, can it be an easy task? You know, each time I was making some drawing or something, Baba will call, see it, and then tell me something about Ma. Actually, here, nobody else's guidance, but Swami's his own guidance for this book. He went on telling me, what is real seva, you must learn from her. That is the only thing he emphasized for me. What is the real service, you must learn from her. What is egolessness, you must learn from her. You know, and to become from mother a devotee, and to get this sort of thing from Swami himself was a very great thing for me. You know, to do little seva is a difficult proposition if you do it from heart. To do seva to 20, 25 people in the house every day is not easy. But as I said, to be the mother of an avatara is not an easy task. The ups and downs in life that she went through with him when she was bringing him up, she went through with him. Mm-hmm. She had lot of doubts, definitely. Mm-hmm. And you know, she used to think that, the things, the presents that he's giving to these people, definitely some people are giving him, he's hiding it somewhere and he's giving it out to these people, you know. As a mother, she started fearing, one day he will be caught and what will happen to him, I don't know. She used to cry and people used to tell, Amma, don't cry, he is not ordinary, he is God. It took her great many years to understand that. One day, Swami called her. He said, Ishwar Amma knew that her son is God, but many a time the motherly relationship would take her and make her forget it. She got confused because people talked in so many ways about his materializing and giving dollars and rings and japmalas to different people. Swami told her of the doubt in her mind and different version of different people which she is hearing. They say, he said, many rich people come here and you think that they pour money, ornaments, dollars, and I have locked these up in the almaras in that room, is it not? And you doubt that by some trick I bring them to my hand and give them to these people? Do you think that, Ma? He asked. Swami prompted her, go and see what is there in the almaras. And he opened his almaras to her. And she went. Ishwarama opened all the almara and finds them empty. She wanted to go to Swami but could not go back to him where he was standing, as there were bars and bars of gold and precious gems and stones all scattered on the floor in between her and Swami. And Swami asked, have you seen what all is hidden in those almaras? She said, Swami, I said something in ignorance. And now how will I come to you because I cannot put my feet on gold? Swami said, never mind, never mind, come, come. And lo, all the gold and precious gems vanished. Swami saw her trembling mother and gave her assurance. Amma, what do you think? Who do you think provides Lakshmi and Kubera with all the wealth? That was a question he left her with. This is how slowly and gradually he convinced her that I am not a fake sannyasi as you are thinking. Again, as a mother, she used to many times tell the devotees, see, the close devotees, please tell him to get married, Amma. When I am not there, who will take care of him? And the devotees used to laugh at her and say, Amma, she is not ordinary, is God. He need not marry Amma. So this is small, small things about Amma, which, you know, gives us how much pain she must have gone through to understand his God as a mother. When he told her, I do not belong to her. I do not belong to you, Ma. I belong to the world. She asked him, okay, then to whom do I belong to? He said, the whole world belongs to you, Ma. And then she rose up to that standard of becoming the Ishwaramma or the mother of God and Amma to all the devotees. And the lady devotees used to come and surround her every morning, evening, and they will pray to her, you know, for her blessings. So in a way she became sort of a goddess to them. We cannot overlook that. And goddess because Swami gave her the attributes of goddess. Not only he made her to go through to understand what are the good qualities of a devotee, she became a good devotee. Then pulled her up to the standard now that we put her to as the goddess. Now we consider her as a goddess. This is how when we look back, we will consider the mother of Krishna, the mother of Rama as not ordinary, but we think of them as goddess. Similarly, we really start praying to Ishwaram also because she does, by her qualities, have the attributes of a goddess. And Swami, under his own sadhana, when she was living with him in the ashram, where Swami gave her a small room only. She had a small bathroom, very small kitchen. She was living there only. She was trying to manage her life there only. But Swami made her to go through great sadhana in that form. And through sadhana, she achieved those heights. And now as a mother of Bhagwan, we have to look towards her to understand and learn from her, not leave it there. My book is an attempt not just to admire Mother Ishwaramma, but through her, Swami has taught me, we have to become the best parents. We have to become the best mothers. And then only our devotion to Swami, we can say, yes, we are devotee of Swami. Some person put this doubt in mother's mind, you know. No, he has, you know what?
He has attained. Yeah.
He has done it. You know, siddhis he has got. So these powers will go. And then again he'll become ordinary. Doubt still remained. Till very near her death, Swami showed her his real Rupa. Just read it out,
please.
This page.
Yes.
This
yes.
will be beautiful. Swami was her beloved son. He slowly became her respected guru. And she started calling him Swami. And slowly as her faith in Swami increased, she became her East Devata. In her own words, narrates her glimpses of the divine in Baba. She says to Shirdima, that lady whom we used to call our Peta Bhuttu. She says, the conversation between mother and the Shirdima. Mother, I want to tell you something that happened to me, mother is saying. But tell no one, you know, no one you should tell about this, like a mother. Because the bad eye will catch him. So Shirdi Ma says, "What is it? Tell me, tell me." She came closer to her. Mother whispered, "Our Swami is really God." Shirdi Ma laughed because she knew that he is God. Okay. So mother said, "Why are you laughing?" Shirdi Ma said, "No, no, I'm not laughing at you. I'm only happy that you have realized it at last. Well, tell me, how did you come to know that he is God?" Mother said, "You know, I have been having fever for the last 4 days and Swami came to me." Mother is saying. Now, Petabattu says, "Shirdi Ma, in a dream?" She says, "No, no, no, not in a dream. He was here himself and asked me, 'Ammi, do you have fever? How do you feel?' he asked. My whole body was aching." This is mother saying. "I was rolling in pain. Then you know what he did? It was not him. It was Ramchandra standing with his bow and arrow. And I raised my folded hands to him and tried to sit on the bed. But in a few moments, he became Swami again and gave me Vibhuti Prasadam and said, 'The fever will go.' This divine revelation was surely the fittest prelude to her merchants with Swami." It was just before she left her body. Few days before that. And then how she merged with Swami. The summer classes were going on in Bangalore. In the morning at 7, breakfast had to be served to the students. They went round in Nagar Sankirtan and returned at 6. I gave them. This is in words of Swami himself. I've recorded Swami's reminiscences also, some of it, about Mother Ishwarama and Subamma, his foster mother. So this is one of the reminiscences. He says, "I gave them darshan. Then I went for my bath. Meanwhile, Ishwarama had finished her bath. She drank her coffee as usual, quite happily, and took her seat on the inner veranda. All of a sudden, proceeding to the bathroom, she cried out, 'Swami, Swami, Swami.' At this, I responded, 'Coming, coming.' Within that, she breathed her last. What greater sign of goodness is needed? She had no need to be served and nourished. Swami will come to the memory at that time only for very few. The mind will usually not call Swami, Swami.' I responded, 'Coming, coming,' and she had gone. This is the authentic consummation of a life of a true devotee." This is how Swami had recorded her going away. Before Ishwarama passed away, Swami says, "I fulfilled all her 3 wishes." What were her 3 wishes? One institution of hospital, a school, and drinking water. This is the 3 things he fulfilled. Okay, then again Swami has said at another place, "Since the mother of this body passed away, she is continuing to move about in her physical body around Swami. 3 boys sleep in Swami's room and they have also witnessed her presence. I'm telling you this today because the life of ideal mothers has permanent significance to the children." This is a very important point. In Prashanti Nilayam, Swami takes breakfast after bhajan and proceeds to his place in Purnachandra Auditorium. Early in the morning one day, Mother Ishwaramma was standing at the door in her usual form. Now, this was after her death. I asked her, that is Swami, "Why did you come, Ma?" She said, "Swami, I have come here with a prayer to you. You are omnipresent, omniscient, but students offer handkerchiefs to you. But heeding my prayer, please do not receive handkerchiefs from everybody. The times are not good. The handkerchiefs may be tainted with poisonous stuff." Now, as a mother, even after death, in the usual course, you use the handkerchiefs to wipe your nose and mouth. So you may receive handkerchiefs only from those on whom you have confidence and trust as good devotees. Do not accept everything from everybody. One day Swami woke up I saw mother standing. I went to her and asked her, why had you come again? She replied, I cannot live without seeing you. The moment I see you happy, I feel good. Therefore, I come to see you. You see, for me, the greatest thing that I found out about her was that she was the greatest of the devotees. And that is what raises her in my eyes as a goddess. From human to a goddess. That was my greatest finding about her. And that is where Swami led me to also. You know, each day that he will talk to me about Mother Ishvarama, that was the main emphasis. Maybe through her, she wants us to learn what sort of mothers and fathers we need in our country nowadays.
And that what it takes to elevate oneself to the status of a goddess is not resplendent wealth or luxury, but simplicity, egolessness.
Exactly.
Absolute selfless seva.
Seva, not sadhana in the Himalayas.
Oh, yes, but
you know, you proved to me that.
Yeah. To reaching out to those in need is what elevates a person from man to God.
Exactly. Yeah. This is what Swami went on emphasizing. Service, service, service is what attracted him. And this is what his mother went through to get him, maybe. That was her sadhana. She was a sadhaka. But living in the world, she was a sadhaka. How living in the world you can be a sadhaka? That is what he preached us through her. And that is why we make her our goddess. Otherwise, ordinarily, she was a mother. Mother of a child, enough. So running after different things doesn't make us a proper human being, a proper mother. On the eve of Bhagwan's 84th birthday, I offered this book to him. I was very keen to give it to him, give a surprise to him on his birthday.
Okay.
So on 84th birthday, just I think a day before his birthday celebrations, and the Mangal Aarti time, after Aarti was over, Swami was going back to Yajur Mandir, and he sat in the car. Now my husband was in the veranda. I had given the book to him to offer to Swami. And my husband got up. Mrs. Chakravarti was also there in the car. Swami saw the book with a, you know, surprise in his eyes. Oh, ready, like that. And he took the book, saw a few pages. He was very happy, as my husband told me. I couldn't see his face at that time. And he said that he hugged the book to his chest, you know, like this with both the hands. Then he gave the book to Mr. Chakravarti to keep. I cried and cried that day. I was so happy. He showed that he was happy to my husband. And I asked him how he was looking, what all he was saying. He said nothing, just did like this and told Chakravarti to keep the book. And they went. You know, I felt very, very happy about that.
Mrs. Kamala Arora, thank you so very much for sharing so many interesting details with us and our listeners about the Divine Mother and about the concept of motherhood that Swami defined it or expected based on your book, Matrastuti.
Thank you very much, Karuna, for giving me this chance of talking about Mother Ishvarama on the eve of Bhagwan's 90th birthday.
Oh, we thank you on behalf of the millions of listeners who will benefit from it. So we are very grateful to you, Dr. Arora.
I hope we do learn from her life. After reading her life story is to discover that she was the living embodiment of Vedanta and she was the manifestation of divine love. What we need most today is the example of a true mother. That is very important. Let us pray that the worthy sons and daughters of today should become worthy fathers and mothers of tomorrow. That is what is absolutely necessary. Good parents, good homes are what our children need today, in addition to good ideas and good values. With thankfulness in our heart, we bow down to at her feet in prayer for this chance given to us.
Thank you. Sai Ram.
Thank you, Karuna. Sai Ram.
Sai Ram, dear listeners, and welcome back to Morning Glory on Thursday Live. We are coming to you live from Prashanthi Nilayam, India, where the time right now is exactly 35 minutes past 10 a.m. That is Indian Standard Time. And today is the 25th of February 2016. You just heard part 2 of my conversation with Dr. Kamala Arora of Bangalore with special focus on Mother Ishwaramba. We look forward to your feedback to this interview. You can reach us with your thoughts, comments and suggestions by email at listener@radiosai.org. And now, coming to the question I posed this morning for our listeners. My colleague, Brother Raghu, had put forth the question as to what is that common factor between ice cream and the heart of our Lord Sai. And almost everyone got the answer right, which is that both melt easily with rise in heat and with the warmth of our devotion. Few listeners added more detail to their responses, and I think all answers are definitely correct, and I'm very pleased to name those who responded correctly. And interestingly, first of all, Sister Lalita Venkateshwaran from Bangalore said that it symbolizes sweetness, it melts, it tastes, gives us supreme bliss, Swami's heart is suffused with pure, unsullied love for all, and so on. So congratulations go out to Sister Lalita Venkateshwaran from Bangalore. From Coimbatore, Sister Dharini Narayanan said, his heart is white and pure, soft and full of joy as the joy ice cream, which Swami enjoyed giving to students. And you're right, Sister Dharini Narayanan of Coimbatore. Brother Bala from Bahrain said the common factor is the melting factor. Absolutely right. He said when the temperature increases, ice cream starts to melt. When our love towards Swami increases, his heart melts like butter. Good analogy. Sister Rekha Loknath said the common thing again is that Swami's heart and ice cream is both are sweet and soft. Sister Bhuvana Sankar from Novi, Michigan, USA said the common factor is pure love. Mrs. Meenakshi Velmurugan from New Delhi, Mrs. Velmurugan says Swami's heart melts for his devotees' bhakti or prayers and devotion in the same way ice cream melts for the heat. You're right, Mrs. Velmurugan. Congratulations. Radio Sai's very own Isha Narayanan, who's currently in Australia, said, ice cream is cool, it's sweet, and it's pure. Isn't Swami's heart the same? Indeed it is, Isha. You're right again. Bhuvana Ganesh from Bangalore said, the common thing between ice cream and our Swami is that Swami is as cool as an ice cream, as sweet as an ice cream, and his heart too melts as quickly as an ice cream. Well said, Bhuvana. Brother Dina from East London in South Africa said the answer is sweetness. Sai Sudha Sasi Kumar from Mumbai said the common factor is joy, J-O-Y. Priya from Bahrain said melting factor, which is the correct answer, of course. And so did Brother Subramanyam M. And he said that both melt quickly in the warmth. Sister Annapurna Bala from Scottsdale, Arizona, USA said, both melt very soon. Swami's heart and I dream I melt very easily. Love all of you at Radio Sai. Sister Annapurna Bala, we all at Radio Sai love you too. For us, all our listeners are divine because they represent Swami's ears for us. From Mumbai, Shashita Shettigar said, again, is the melting factor. Congratulations to Shashita Shettigar from Mumbai. Brother Subhash Lakshmi Narayanan from Dubai made a good try. He said, joy ice cream is dearest to Swami. Not quite the answer we were looking for, but nice try, brother. This will pass. Sister Jaya Ramachandran said, common thing between ice cream and Swami's heart is they both melt easily. And this is the correct answer that Suhana Patel from Johannesburg, South Africa, Nandu Srinivasan, and Sai Krishna from Hyderabad also got the right answer. Brother M. Kaushal from Bangalore had the right answer and he gave a nice analogy. He said, both melt with heat. Heat could be mapped to difficulties and adversities in life. You know how it is. When we are in trouble, we remember God even more. Now, two of my most precious responses came. One from South Africa, from 7-year-old Sia Bhagwan Das from Durban, South Africa. And Sia Bhagwan Das wrote to us that both melt easily. Thank you, Sia. You're so sweet, like ice cream. And thank you for participating in this quiz on Morning Glory. Another very precious answer came from California, USA, from Shweta Palakur. And she said the answer, I know Shweta is a young listener, the answer to the question is sweetness and joy derived from Swami's love and the white purity of the ice cream. Thank you, Shweta. You are so wise for your few years, young year age. Appreciate your participation, Shweta Palakur and Siya Bhagwandas and all the listeners. And thank you, dear listeners. Appreciate your prompt responses. Even before I could get on to my email, I already had like 20 odd answers there. Now it's time for me to leave you on a blissful high this Thursday morning with some of our favorite music. And till we meet again, I ask you, dear brothers and sisters, to please be well, keep seeking, and do whatever it takes to be in a very positive mental and emotional space. With that thought, I wish you well until we meet again. Jai Sai Ram, and enjoy some of your and my favorite music.
Ganesha, 我皈依 Ganesha.
Ganesha, 我皈依 Ganesha.
Ganesha, 我皈依 我皈依
Ganesha. Ganesha, 我皈依 我皈依 Ganesha.
Ganesha, 我皈依 我皈依 Ganesha.
You're listening to Ganesha Sharanam in Chinese. This will be followed by bhajans in Hindi.
Ganesha, 我皈依 我皈依 Ganesha.
Ganesha, 我皈依 我皈依
Ganesha. 赛事主 我皈依 我皈依 赛事主
赛事主 我皈依 我皈依
赛事主 我皈依 我皈依 赛事主
赛事主 我皈依 我皈依 赛事主
赛事主 我皈依 我皈依 赛事主
赛事主 我皈依
我皈依
तेरे दर पे तेरे हिंदू या मुस्लिम या مسلمان سکھ عیسائی ہندو مسلمان دھرم سب ہی
ہاں جی
ایک سامان
ہاں جی
دھرم سب ہی
ہاں جی
ایک سامان
ہاں جی
سکھ عیسائی ہندو مسلمان سکھ عیسائی ہندو مسلمان
بولیے بولیے جی بدھ زوراشٹر مہاویر نام
ہاں بولیے بولیے جی بدھ زوراشٹر مہاویر نام سکھ عیسائی ہندو مسلمان سکھ عیسائی ہندو مسلمان
پریم دھرم ہی ہماری او بولیے کون سی جاتی ہے وہ مانوتا کی جاتی ہماری سمتا سمگرتا سمیکھتا سوبھراتتو
بھید نہ جات پات کا پرم نہ اونچ نیچ کا بھید نہ جات پات کا پرم نہ اونچ نیچ کا
تیرے در پہ آئے وہ سب ہی ایک ہو جائے
وہ سب ہی ایک ہو جائے وہ سب ہی ایک ہو جائے نہ جات پات کا بھید یہاں نہ اونچ نیچ کا مرم یہاں نہ جات پات کا بھید یہاں نہ اونچ نیچ کا مرم یہاں
آشا ہماری ایک ہردے کی
منو یا نو منو کر دیکھو جن منو یا نو منو کر دیکھو جن
منو یا نو منو کر دیکھو جن منو یا نو منو کر دیکھو جن
سائی کے دربار میں
ہاں جی ہاں جی
سائی کے دربار میں
نرگر نرنی دمد بگ بگر نرگر مبدنی دا مبدنی دا مبدنی
سائی کے دربار
پرمپرا پرانی بدل گئی ہے آج
کالی گٹا چھائی ہے کل یگ کی آج
کالی گٹا چھائی ہے کل
یگ
کی آج کالی گٹا چھائی ہے کل یگ کی آج کالی گٹا چھائی ہے کل یگ کی آج
مگر اس گھن گھور اندھیرے یہ روشنی کدھر سے اٹھی ہے
مانو یا نو مانو آ کر دیکھو جانو مانو یا نو مانو آ کر دیکھو جانو
سائی کے دربار میں آؤ جی آؤ سن لو سائی کے دربار میں آؤ جی آؤ سن لو سائی کے دربار میں
दरबार में।
एक ओंकार सतनाम करता पूरक निरपार निर्वैर अकाल मूर्त अजूनी से भंग गुरु प्रसाद जप आद सच जुगाद सच है भी सच नानक होसी भी सच।
के अनोखी सी धड़कन तुम्हा सांसों में बसती है तू मेरी माँ
दिल की